the book of Daniel, the third chapter of the book of Daniel. I'm going to be reading the whole chapter. And if it's very difficult for you to stand, and stay standing, it's all right if you stay seated, but we're going to ask everybody else to stand up in reverence to the reading of God's word. If you have a problem standing for that length of time, it is no problem in you doing that. Chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, if the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, then all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music. All the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the image, the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hath made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "It is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whom whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has set his angel, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amidst against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the precious word of God, this wonderful account, Lord, of three of your servants and what you did in this wonderful, wonderful account in the Bible. I thank you, Lord, for sharing it with us and leaving it with us. And Lord, even this morning, the opportunity to preach from it. And Lord, this preacher needs your help. He needs your power. He needs your wisdom. And I just ask, Lord, as your word goes forward, Lord, that each one of us will be receptive to the word of God and will be willing, Lord, to listen and hear and do accordingly as you deal in our heart. Thank you now. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I think that probably anyone who has read this very often or heard it preached or whatever, it becomes a very favorite portion, a story, a wonderful account in the Bible of God's great power and how God will help his servants in the great need, in time of need. It's a marvelous story. It's one of my favorites in the Bible. I love to read about it because it tells me, shows me that you can go ahead and stand for God. It makes no difference. You can stand for God. You can just go ahead and do it because God will be with you. It makes no difference. And I got to thinking, though, as I was reading through this, and I know it would be a good sermon if you read down through there, if you noticed. I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but it's amazing that many times throughout that portion of Scripture, that chapter, where it talks about that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, the image that he had set up, over and over and over it makes that statement that he had set up, that some man had set up. Some image that man had set up, not God Almighty that we're to worship, but to some man had set up. Over and over and over in that chapter, it says that, and I'm amazed at it. But I was thinking about these three young men, and let me say to you, they were young men. They'd been brought to Babylon. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But I was thinking about they were God's men. And the fact that what we would say today, they were saved people. Their faith was in God Almighty and what Jesus Christ was going to do one day. They believed in the sacrifices, that it was looking forward to that day when the Messiah would come and would die on the cross of Calvary. And these men were men of God. And I got to thinking what that belief, what that we would call salvation had done for them. And it is marvelous. And I was thinking, wonder what that salvation has done for us. And that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. What has your salvation done for you? First of all, I just want to look at these men and look at this story and talk to you about the fact that their salvation was based upon their faith in a sovereign God, in the only true and living God. You see, they believed that God's throne was above all thrones. That God's throne was above the throne of Nebuchadnezzar or any other person upon the face of this earth. They just simply believed that he had more power and absolutely could do anything. You're talking about something very serious here, and we'll talk about it here in a moment, but they believed that God could deliver them from that. They just believed that God could have his will, his way. It made no difference to them what was going to happen. They just put their faith and their trust in the living God. They believed that God's word was final and ought to be obeyed. They knew that they should not bow before a golden image. And they knew that and believed that, and the Word of God had control over their life. And they believed also that any circumstance, no matter what it was not an excuse to disobey the Bible, the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. There were some circumstances of life here that could have caused and did cause multitudes to bow before the golden image. But they just understood something. They understood that the Bible was the Word of God, and God had told them not to bow down before any images. And they believed that. And they was not going to do it. No matter what happened, if God would deliver them, fine. If God would not deliver them, fine. They just simply believed in a God that would take care of them and do what was necessary to be done. No matter what happened, God would take care of them. And they would not disobey God's word regardless of the circumstances of life. I wonder about that. What do you think about that? I wonder, when you think about our salvation, is our salvation so secure? And are we so dedicated to the fact that also, no matter what it is that comes in life, that we're willing to obey the Bible, the Word of God, no matter what circumstance comes our way? I believe that's the kind of salvation a person needs, don't you? I believe that's the kind of dedication a person needs. It's just simply like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They just simply believed that God would take care of the situation no matter what that was. See, they wasn't saying, oh, God's going to deliver us. They said, yeah, our God is able to deliver us. He can deliver us, but if he chooses not to, that's all right. Whatever God decides to do. So again, I'm simply saying to you, the foundation of their faith was on the sovereign God, the true and the living God. That's where their faith was at. And that's where our faith has got to be, on that kind of God, you see, because that's who he is. Another thing is, their salvation was tested and tried. Folks, listen to me. Please listen to this preacher. Do you think you're going to have the great salvation that God has given to us and it'll never be tested, never be tried? I'm not talking about whether you're going to be saved or not. I'm talking about if you're God's child, do you think that's not going to be tested and tried throughout life? Sure it is. God allows that testing in life. He allows that to help us to grow and mature, and we'll find out to be a testimony to other people. You see, God expects us to face the tests of life. Look at what happened here. These young men, and I think they was young. I don't know exactly what age they were. You might be able to figure it out. I haven't figured it out. But they were very young men. Daniel was a very young man when he came to Babylon. And these men were very young men. Just imagine coming out of a land like Israel and being brought to a foreign land that hated God and had false gods. And imagine them coming as young people. We hear today the problems and troubles of young people. Folks, you got the same God we got. Amen. You can stand just like anybody else can stand. Right. You have the same God. Don't give me that foolishness that you can't do this and you can't do this. Yeah, no, no, you got the same God as anybody else got. If you got Christ as your Savior, then you have the same one I've got. And he can help you to stand. It's hard. It's difficult, you say, to stand in this old world. It's always been hard and difficult. Right. Amen. It isn't any that much different today. I know it's hard times today. We're facing different difficulties, but it's the same God that we have. Amen. That loves us and will take care of us. So here we find three young men brought to in captivity to Babylon. And now we find that king of Babylon is going to make a decree and set up an image, a golden image, and he was going to say to these young people and all of the Israel that was brought captive there, you're going to bow down to this here God, this false God, let me say, or be cast into a furnace of fire. Now just stop for just a few moments and put yourself in that situation. Just imagine standing there that day. No, I mean really put yourself in that situation. Imagine standing there that day and having someone walk up to you and say to you, when we play the music, you bow down and worship this golden image. And if not, when you don't do it, we're going to throw you in a hot furnace and burn you up. That's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. That's what they had to face. They was in a foreign land. They could do nothing about it. They could not appeal to the government. They had nobody to appeal to. All they had to do was make a choice of whether I'm going to bow down or not bow down. So what these three Hebrew children was going to do at this point was not going to determine whether they were saved or not, but it was going to determine on whether they was going to stand for the God whom they claim to follow. We face that all the time. Young people, you're going to face that all the time. You're going to have all kinds of problems come your way, and you're going to have to face them, and you're going to have to give some proof of to your dedication to God Almighty. And you're going to have to make the stand. Or you're going to have to do like the other. You're going to have to bow down to the old golden image and bow your head there and bow your knees and fall down before it and this old world and just worship it instead of God. They was going to make a determination, and you're making the same determination. Every individual in this room is making that same determination, who you're going to serve and who you are not going to serve. So I might say to you, how does your salvation work? What has your salvation done for you when it is tested and tried? It is not hard to live for God when things are going right. It is not difficult to do that, folks. It's not, you know, I preached a message, it's easy to do the easy. Preached that a couple, three years ago. It's easy to do the easy. It's not hard to do the easy. You just do it. But when it comes down to difficult times like these three men were facing, what are we going to do? What is salvation going to mean to you when you face the difficult and hard times of life? What's going to happen? How are you going to react? See, that's where these young men was. Their salvation was tested and tried. And yours will be too, and mine will also. Their salvation also brought a complete surrender of themselves to God. If you look at this story and read this story, you'll find out they knew something. They could trust themselves with God Almighty. Made a difference what God was going to do. Made a difference what the end was going to be. They knew they could put themselves in the hand of God and trust Him with it. And that's exactly what they did. They were not bound by everybody else's idea of what they was going to do. If you read in verse number 7, look at this. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, folks, you want to talk about multitudes standing around here, this golden image. It said all languages, nations. Here they was. Here they was and told when the music starts. And when the music started, what did they do? They bowed down. You look over here, and here's three men standing. Why don't we see more of that today? When many of the Christian world is bowing down, why don't we see some standing up? That's good. Amen. Right. Just refusing to bow. Amen. Instead of bowing down to all the ways of the world, and let me say that multitudes are bowing down to the ways of the world. Right. Many of the Christians are bowing down to the ways of the world. You want to look this story. We don't have time to discuss that story, but that is a picture of the Antichrist in the last days. This golden image is a picture of the Antichrist of the last days. And let me say to you, music is one of the important things of that day, and it was of this day. Music. What kind of music you follow? Boy, at the sound of the rock and roll, bow down, folks. Amen. And many of our young people are doing that. Many of our people are doing that, listening to the wrong kinds of things. That's not the message. I'm simply saying to you folks, you've got to make a decision that you're going to stand up when no one else does. You're going to have to make a decision that you're going to stand alone. Amen. If you cannot learn to stand alone, you will not stand. We preach that and preach that. Pastor Jerry preaches that to the youth. We preach it in our school. We teach it in our church. You've got to learn to stand alone. Instead of follow the crowd. And folks, you've got to learn to stand alone. Makes no difference what everybody else does. I mean, it does make a difference. We wish they would stand with us, but makes no difference what they do. We must stand. Amen. You've got to stand. And that's what these three young men did. They just simply believed that that didn't make any difference what all the other languages, all the other nations, all the other Jews was going to do. It didn't really make any difference. They was going to stand and not worship the false image. Their loyalty was to God Almighty in heaven. That's where their loyalty was to. And that's where you and I's loyalty got to be. When you live the Christian life, folks, don't worry about anybody making fun of you and looking down on you. Don't worry about what your peers say. Don't you worry about that. It doesn't make a difference what your peers say. It makes a difference what God thinks of you. That's what makes a difference. That's what makes a difference. You go through life just remembering something. You're not going to answer to those peers one of these days. You're not going to answer to those who are living beside you one of these days. You're going to answer to God Almighty, and He's the one we've got to please. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that and understood that and was going to stand no matter what because they wanted to please the true and the living God. Amen? So their salvation brought them complete surrender of themselves to God Almighty. Complete surrender. Folks, you've got to learn it. I want to ask you just a question real quick, okay? Everybody, just ask you a question. Have you ever completely surrendered your life to God? Have you ever completely surrendered your life to God? Rebecca, help us there with them playing games. Have you ever surrendered completely your life to God? Completely. You answer. Have you ever went to the Lord and said, Lord, make a difference what you want me to do, how you want me to do it, where you want me to go, whatever it is, I'll do it. See, that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had done. They just come to that fiery furnace and said, well, make a difference. God can deliver us, but if you don't, it's all right. See, they surrendered themselves to the will of God, not to His will, their will, but His will, you see. So I say to you again, also their salvation enabled them. The faith they had in God enabled them to not bow before this golden image. They just knew they was not going to do it. Look in verse number 18 again. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now folks, again, put yourself in these young men's position. There was the furnace burning seven times hotter than usual. And there they looked and they saw this furnace and they just said, well, whatever God does to make a difference, we're just not going to worship that golden image. Now, folks, listen. Why could they do that? Because they had a strong faith in their God. And they knew God's way was better than their way. And they was not afraid to face what God was going to allow them to happen to them. They was not afraid of that. So again, I say, does your salvation enable you to refuse the temptations of the devil? When the temptation come your way, when the fiery furnaces come your way, are you able to face those temptations because of your faith in God? That's what salvation done for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what salvation should do for you and I. Not only that, their salvation brought deliverance. Verse number 25, he says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, in this before, they was cast into that furnace bound. Now it says they's loosed. Did you know what? That kind of salvation is going to give us deliverance. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died to save these people from their sins. And Jesus Christ is coming again someday, folks. He's delivered us. And he's going to deliver us completely and fully one of these days out of this old, away from this old earth and all of its sin and corruption. Someone was talking the other day of, well, it was Brother Tim. Brother Greg, I wanted to tell you, I'm sorry. I was looking for you earlier and I couldn't find you. And I'm sorry. I was looking for you to tell you that. And I talked with your daddy. And I am sorry about your grandfather. I know that's hard. And we've prayed for you for that. But Tim was telling me the other day, he said, well, his daddy said, well, he said, Tim, I'm tired. He had cancer, you know. Tim's daddy had cancer pretty bad. So I'm tired, and other troubles in life and problems in life was getting to him. And in one place he told him, he said, I just want to go home. And I said to Tim, I said, you know, probably as a young man, I never said that much. But the older I get, I told Tim, I said, all the wickedness in this world, I'm tired of it. I'm serious. And I understand young people not looking at it like that. I understand that. When you're younger, you think, you know, a life ahead and a lot of things to look to, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you, the older I get, I just yearn to go home. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the wickedness of this old world, and I just want to go home. Amen? Now, I don't know when that'll be. I'm not pressuring God. I'm just saying to you, this wickedness gets hard to live in, and it's everywhere you look. Satan is pressuring everywhere you look, fighting against God's people everywhere. And you know what? I just, one of these days, I just like to see it come to pass. Amen? I don't know how you feel about that, but I've got a lot of good things to look forward to. We got a little thing. My wife has a little thing up here. Said, ye shall see your children's children. Some lady of this church, I think, made that for her. I can't remember. It's been years back. I just can't remember the whole thing. And I said to myself one day, I've seen my children's children. I've been a blessed man. I've got to see my children's children. Amen. And I've got to see them live for a few years. Those things are good things. They're good memories, you see. But you know what? The old wickedness of this world weighs you down. Amen. And old Satan will do anything he can to just weight you down. Amen. He'll just do anything he can. So our salvation, our faith in God, should cause us to be able to stand against these old temptations of the world and say no to them. I'm just not going to do it. That's what Shadrach Meshach said in Bob Ross's language. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to quit now. Amen. Not going to stop serving God now just because of some old furnace sitting over there that's burning seven times hotter. Amen. So their salvation brought deliverance. And I believe that our salvation should bring deliverance from this old world and all its temptations and all of its heartaches. Not only that, their salvation brought glory to God. Over in verse number 28, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember just a little while before that, when I'm going to go back and read it, you remember a little while before that how he was furious with them? You're not going to bow down to my gods that I have made? How furious he was. He was mad. He was angry. All at once he's saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants and that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Look at verse number 29. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. I got to reading that and I thought, look what the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did to a king, a wicked king, a man who hated God and who set up images, golden images, for the people to worship. Look what three men's faith did to change his heart. I'm saying to you and I, folks, wouldn't it be a great thing if the profession of our faith was so strong that it brought glory to God and changed kings' hearts? And maybe not just change kings' hearts. Maybe just change our neighbor's heart. That God had done some wonderful things in our life in such a way and delivered us and helped us, and they could see through us the testimony of Jesus Christ, that they looked and desired also to have that same God. You see, our testimony is designed to bring honor and glory to God Almighty. Now, what did it cost them? What was the testimony they had? Testimony was they was willing to give up their life. I mean, no little hardship stopped them. Amen? I mean, they didn't get a hangnail and decide not to come to church. I mean, I think they'd have been there if they'd had to been carried on a litter. These fellows were so dedicated to God, they just knew to do right no matter what happened. Amen? And because of that, people saw. And they worshiped God. And a nation was changed. Nebuchadnezzar was changed after that by seeing this. He was not certainly perfect, but he was changed. And that's what we need today, is a people seeing a people live for God even through the hardships of life. Amen. You know, it's one thing to profess salvation and quite another to possess it. Man asked me yesterday, I was out visiting yesterday and I stopped to see this fellow. And he said to me, and that's one of the reasons he said, we was talking about the subject, and I won't get into all of it, but he's talking about the subject of once saved, always saved. In other words, once you truly are saved, you're truly saved. He said, well, a lot of churches are teaching that when you're saved, then you can just go out and do anything you want. And I said, well, let me say something to you. I don't know of churches that are teaching that, but if they are, they're teaching wrong. But he said they are teaching it by their life. Yeah, they're teaching it by their life. Just go out and do whatever you want. I'm saved now, so I'm all right. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of professors that are not possessors. I'm not the judge of that, who they are. I'm just saying I know it's true. I know what God done in salvation in my life. I know what's in my heart. I know that I cannot sin and God not get all over me. Oh my. And if you can sin and God not get all over you, you got some problems, amen? I mean, true? I didn't say you wouldn't sin. I said, if you can sin and God not get over you and you have to do something bad, there's a problem somewhere along the line. Amen? So I'm simply saying, salvation ought to do something for you and for me. Does it enable you to say no to Satan and sin? Does it enable you to follow the Word of God? Take it as your guide? Not the world's traditions or man's traditions, but the Word of God as your guide. Does it do that for you? Does it enable you to be faithful to God's cause? And He does have a cause. The cause is getting out the gospel. I'm telling that same man yesterday, the one thing we've got to do is get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Since you don't know who He is, I said, you sitting at home, not going to church, claiming to be saved, is never going to help anything. For you have no gospel to give that says it doesn't change my life. I was kind to him. He knew I was being kind to him. He said, you're right. You see, the gospel of Christ must be proclaimed. We're living in perilous times. Jesus is coming soon. The gospel's the only answer for the lost world. And we've got to get it out. Amen? I mean, won't you agree that as a Christian? Isn't that true? I mean, isn't that right? We've got to get out the gospel. That's the message we have to get out. Sure it is. So I'm just simply saying to you and to I, let our faith change lives. Let what people see in us realize that we have something that is real. Not that it's us, but it's our God in us. That it's that great and wonderful God whom we serve and love and can do anything that needs to be done. Amen. I think these three men are some of the great heroes, if you want to call them that, heroes of the Bible. Why were they heroes? Just simply because they followed God, believed God, put their life in the hands of the Lord, and just simply said, I'm not going to worship a false God. I'm going to walk with God. Now, I know many of you have made that decision. You've decided to do that. Many have not. Not condemning anybody. I'm just simply saying many have not, but you need to. You need to just make a determination. You need to say, I'm going to just follow God. No matter what happens, I'm going to follow God. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what temptation. I don't care what the world does. I'm just going to follow God. I don't care what persecution comes my way. I don't care if it's a fiery furnace. I'm just going to follow my God. I'm just going to walk with Him. Now, I might say to you this morning, you may be here and you may not be saved. You may not be able to say with this preacher and many others in this room, if I died today, I know for sure, 100% sure, I would go to heaven. I want to give you some good news. You certainly can know that. And God loves you just as much as He loved me and every other individual in here that's saved. And what He was waiting for you to do is this: realize that you are a sinner. Folks, we are sinners, and God hates sin. We must understand that. God hates sin so much that He allowed Jesus Christ, His wonderful, perfect, precious Son, to die on the cross for your sin. And all He's asking you is to please come to Him and admit that you are a sinner and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're willing to put your faith, your trust in what Jesus Christ done on the cross of Calvary for you as your substitute. That's what He's asking you to do. That's a very small thing that God is asking. Amen. I'm asking you this morning, are you saved? Are you born again? If you died right now, do you know 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If not, in the invitation, which we're going to have in just a moment, you need to come. Let us take the Bible, the Word of God, and we'll be very kind and gracious to you. We'll not take a lengthy time. We'll just show you what it means to be saved. And you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be born again as a Christian. Maybe you've never, ever truly dedicated your life to Christ. You've never said, after your salvation, you know what, I want you to have my all. Not only the salvation of my soul, but I want you to have everything I have. And I want to come this morning dedicating myself to you, God, giving my all to you. Let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the precious Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And Father, this morning I pray, should there be anyone here without Christ, oh God, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit be upon that life, that they may come to know Jesus Christ this morning. Get that settled today. And Lord, be ready for heaven when that time comes. And I pray for God's people. There's a need for dedication, Lord, to just simply give their all to the Lord and stand with these three Hebrew children, willing to just do what God says, regardless of the consequences. I pray for that this morning. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.